And we're holding on Vav Amud Aleph, the 10th line, so about the middle of the narrow lines. We're still talking about the mitzvah Bal Ta'achar, that once you made a neder for various purposes, we said korbanos, or tzedakah, or even you didn't make, or various kinds of hektish to the Beis Mikdash, or even you didn't make a neder, things that you're required to, such as leket shikhapeya, meiser, and so forth. So if you don't do it within a certain amount of time, you're over on the issue of Bal Ta'achar, and we have five different opinions of Tanoim, how long you have before you're over. Now we're going to focus on two psukim later. The Torah tells us, the Torah continues on that topic. So the next pasuk, the Gemara is not dealing with over here. The next pasuk says, v'chisech dal linder, if you hold back, good morning, Yaakov, if you hold back from making a neder, lo yir b'chochet, you won't have an aveda. And that pasuk in the middle is just telling us, don't think you have to make the nedarim. In order to be a good yid, you should be aware that you don't need to do that. So now, we're not focusing on that, though. The Gemara is going to now focus on the next pasuk after that. The pasuk goes like this. Moitza svasecha tishmer v'asisa. What comes out of your lips, you should guard to follow it. V'asisa and do it. Kashena da'uta la'ashem alakecha nedava. As you vowed a nedava to Hashem your God. Asher bibauta b'ficha, which you spoke with your mouth. So again, like we had with the earlier pasuk, there seem to be a lot of extra expressions and phrases in it, which therefore the Gemara is going to douse in it phrase by phrase and learn dinim from it. So turn it up on, we learn in a braisa. Moitzas fasecha zumitz fasecha. When the pasuk starts out, what comes out of your lips, that constitutes a mitzvah saseh. In other words, even though it doesn't say that the pasuk continues tishmer v'asisa, and we're going to use those for other limudim, but moitzas fasecha all by itself implies what comes out of your lips, you have to keep. So therefore, that's a mitzvah saseh. Tishmer is a mitzvah lois saseh. When it says guard it, that constitutes a mitzvah lois saseh, not to be over on Bal Ta'achar. How does tishmer become a lois saseh? So Rashi brings from a Gemara that you have from something that you have in a few places in Shas, that any time where the Torah uses that expression, he shomer or pen or al, then it constitutes a lois saseh. So over here, since it says tishmer, then it means a lois saseh. Tosfos discusses it a little bit. There's a different Gemara that seems to imply that when it's in connection with a mitzvah saseh, then it constitutes an esser. One thing is, Tosfos says, okay, but over here you have a lois esser two psukim earlier, because you have lois sachar the shamoi, so therefore we can say that the tishmer is a second lois esser on that. Which, by the way, doesn't necessarily mean that it counts as a separate one of the 613 mitzvahs. The Rambam gives in the introduction to Sefer HaMitzvahs, he gives the various rules how we know whether something is a mitzvah. Just because something is repeated multiple times in the Torah doesn't automatically make it a separate mitzvah. Unless the Gemara tells us that there's something separate about it in the sense there would be a separate punishment for it or something, or that counts as a separate lois esser for various other purposes. Here, you don't necessarily have that. Anyway, continues the, and we're going to see soon in the Gemara, in fact, why we need it. We already have the Lois Esef and Lois Acher. Why do we need this one? So we'll get back to that in a minute. V'asisa, when the pasuk continues, you should do, and of course we know you have to keep it, Moitzes Fasecha is already in Mitzvah Saseh. Therefore, that's Azhara LeBeistin Shiyasukha. That is a warning to Beistin to make you do it. Which means, if Beistin knows that that we're going to see soon in the Gemara that in general with a neder you have two stages. There's the stage where you say it, and there's the stage where you designate an animal or whatever to fulfill your neder, and then eventually you actually have the third stage, which is when you actually carry it out, when you mock with the animal or give the thing to Hektish or whatever. So Beistin is responsible after each of the first two stages, as we're going to say, to force you to do it. So if they see that you made a neder and you haven't done anything in the direction of fulfilling it, like designating an animal or something, then they're empowered, they're obligated to force you to do that. And if you designated the animal and you still haven't been makir with it yet after a certain amount of time, after Shalosh Regalim or whatever, then Beistin is required to force you to actually bring it. That's Vasisa. The pasuk continues, Kasher Nadauja. Now so the first half of the pasuk is telling us about the mitzvahs involved. The second half of the pasuk is going to talk about what kinds of things do these dinim apply to. Kasher Nadauja is a neder. When it says, as you vowed, that refers to a neder. Whereas we said before, and we're going to have further on our Amud, that a neder is when you say harei olai, I obligate myself to bring a korban. The achrayus is on you. So when it says nakashen a doubt as a neder, l'Hashem alekecha elu chatoris v'ashomers. When it says to Hashem, then it means chatos and asham, which, because again, the word l'Hashem alekecha are extra. Who else would you be making the neder to? So it means it includes things like that that you're obligated to. Don't think it's only things that you made a neder, because after all it says moitzas v'asecha. It also includes things that you're anyway obligated to, like a chatos or an asham. Now, with the case of a chatos and an asham, you don't have you have the two stages that we talked about before, but slightly different. You don't have where a person says, I'm going to bring a chatas, and then later on he designates an animal, because you can't. You don't have a person can't voluntarily bring a chatas. So the two stages then are where he did the aveda, and now is obligated to bring one, and then when he goes and designates an animal for the purpose. So we're saying again that the mitzvahs that we're talking about over here apply to those, and also olus shlomim. Hashem alekecha also includes olus and shlomim, because again, not ones that you designated by a neder, that we already said, but rather olus or shlomim that you're obligated to bring, such as we talked about yesterday, olus ru'iyah and shamei chagiga, which you're required to bring. So those are all under l'Hashem alekecha. Nedava k'mashmoi, the pasuk continues with the word nedava, that means exactly what it sounds like, not only a neder, but also a nedava, which is where you say harei zu, where to begin with you say, this animal is the one that I'm designating. So then also you have Baal Tachra on that. Asher dibarta, the pasuk continues, which you spoke. Elu kodshim bedek abayis, that refers to the various kodshim that go to bedek abayis, which in the braisa that we had yesterday, it listed them out in detail. Charomim, erchim, hekdeshes, etc. Here we're just lumping them all together under kodshim bedek abayis. And the reason why asher dibarta teaches us about those is because those are accomplished just by saying. Now, the other ones are also accomplished by saying, but those have other details to them, and therefore we have them from other words in the pasuk. Here we have that, in other words, just you said, I'm going to give an erech, or I'm going to give this object to the Beis Mikdash, or whatever, then already it's chal. There's a concept in halacha called amiru l'gavoya k'nesiru l'hedyet. Just saying, I'm going to give such and such to Hekdash, already is enough to make it that you're obligated to give that. Unlike with a hedyet, where if I say I'm going to give you such and such, that's not mechayev me until we make a kinyan on it, until we make a kinyan on it of some kind. But by hekdesh, you don't need that. Just saying it, asher dibarta, is enough to make an obligation of it. So therefore, asher dibarta refers to kodesh bedek habayis, and the word beficha zut tzedakah, the last word in the pasuk, with your mouth, refers to tzedakah. Now, how does with your mouth come to refer to tzedakah? So Rashi just says, listen, you have an extra word in the pasuk. We don't have anything else for it. So therefore, we're going to use it for tzedakah, which is also something that you designate verbally. Tosfos refers to, actually, there's a pasuk in Yeshaya that associates the mouth with tzedakah. There's a pasuk where Hashem says, Yotza mipi tzedakah, tzedakah has come out of my mouth. So we see that there's an association between the mouth and tzedakah. So the Braisa is telling us that all of these things that we just listed are all subject to the mitzvahs that we just said about the mitzvahs Esa and the mitzvahs Lois Esa. And now, there are actually several things in our Braisa that are missing that we had in the previous Braisa that we had at the beginning of the Sugya on Daf Dalet. So again, we're missing the details of Hekdesh, but fine. Here it just doesn't list them out individually. It lumps them all in under Hekdesh, under Bedek Abayis. But we're missing Leket Shikcha and Peya that we had over there. And we're also missing Bechor Meiser and Pesach. So as far as Leket Shikcha and Peya, the Pnei Yeshua explains like this. We're going to talk about in a minute in the Gemara, again, about these two stages, one where you designated it and one where you're obligated to actually go and one where you said that I'm obligated to bring it, and the second one where you actually designated it, and then the third stage when you actually bring it. With Leket Shikcha and Peya, you don't have those. You have to set them aside, sure, but then after that, it's not your obligation to give them to the Aniyim. The Aniyim themselves come and take them. So therefore, you don't really have those separate stages, which the Gemara is going to explain, that all Braisa is referring to with Leket Shikcha and Peya. As far as Bechor and Meiser, similarly, Bechor, there's no time when you designate it as a Bechor. As soon as it's born, it already has the Kedusha of a Bechor. Meister also, I mean, you have sort of, you have to put the animals in the pen and have them go out and designate them as Meister, but again, it's almost more of an automatic thing rather than with these korbanos, where you actually have to decide on your own that you're going to bring this korban, or this hekdesh, or whatever, or in the case of a chatas and an oshem, where you did the aveda, that triggers that. So therefore, meiser is not really in the same category as that. And as far as Pesach, anyway, we said there was really, according to the Chista, there was no real reason to mention Pesach in the earlier Braisa anyway, because you only have the one day, your Dalet Nissen, or your Dalet Iyar, Pesach Sheni, to bring it. And according to the Sheshes, we said that we were talking about that that Shlomim that come as a result where you didn't bring the Korban Pesach in time, and then you bring it to the Shlomim, fine. But we're already mentioning Olus and Shlomim over here, so we don't have to mention that separately. So now let's analyze that braisa. We said that the pasuk is saying what comes out of your lips constitutes a mitzvah esse. So the question is, why do we need that? We have a different pasuk that tells us that there's an esse. When you come there to the Bais Hamikdash, you should bring there your korbanos. We had that before, in fact, where we said, on Dalet Amud Beis, that Reb Meir learns from that there is a mitzvah asay to bring your korbanos on the first Yom Tov that you can. And in fact, Reb Meir holds, once you're over on that eseh, automatically you're over on the lois eseh as well. So therefore, he says that if you don't bring it on the first Yom Tov, then already you're over on Baal Ta'achar. So fine, the other Chachamim disagree with him, but even they agree that there's an eseh over there to bring it on the first Yom Tov. So why over here are we bringing from the word mitzvah asecha instead? And before the Gemara answers that, it has two other similar questions. Tishmu zumitzvahs loisa said lomali. Why do you need tishmo to tell us that there's a loisa said? Mi loisa acha l'shamay nafka. Again, we should be able to learn that from the word loisa acha l'shamay, the whole, the mitzvah about to acha, that has been the subject of the sugya. And v'ostisa is hardly based in shiyasucha lomali. And why do we need the word v'ostisa to tell us that Beis Din forces him? Miyakriv oisei nafka. We learn that from a different pasuk at the beginning of Parashas Vayikra, when it says Yakriv oisei, he should bring it as a korban. The Tanya, as we learn in the Braisa, Yakriv oisei, Malamacha koifin oisei, that teaches us that Beis Din forces him to bring the korban. Yochol baal kochoi. Now you would think koifin oisei means baal kochoi, that even if he brings the korban and he still doesn't, even if he still doesn't want to at the end, he still has to bring the korban. No, tamad leimah, l'ritzonei. The same pasuk, the next word, says l'ritzonei, he has to do it willingly. Hakeitzad, so what does it mean? Do we force him or does he bring it willingly? The famous thing, kofinosei atrimei rotzani. We force him until he says, I want to. And you have the very famous Rambam in Hilchos Geirushin that discusses how does that work. We know in other areas of halacha that wouldn't work, that if you try to force somebody and he agrees, that we're going to say that it's with his own free will. The difference is that Rambam says that when we're talking about a mitzvah, a yid's real desire is to do the mitzvah. What happens? You have a yitzhahara that gets in the way. So when Beis Din applies some pressure, kofinosei, then it causes that yitzhahara to be put under control, to get moved out of the way, and now the person's real rotzen that he wants to do the mitzvah comes out. The original context that Amnon is talking about over there is where a person is required al pi halacha to give his wife a get, and he doesn't want to, so a Jewish Beis Din can force him to give the get. There you have the similar thing, a get has to be given l'ritzonei, but again, you can have that ritzonei can be brought about by kofin. It's complicated over there, of course, you have to make sure that you're doing it al pi halacha. If he's not required al pi halacha to divorce his wife and basically forces him to give a get, then you have big problems. But we're talking about when it is al pi halacha that he's required to divorce her. So then kofin oisei. So similarly over here, when he's required al pi halacha to bring a korban, then Beis Din can force him, and we're saying that brings out his true rotzen. So anyway, the point is we're learning that concept from that pasuk, the Yakriv oisei. So why do we need the word va'osisa in our pasuk over here to tell us the same thing? So the answer to all three questions, actually Tosfos points out over here that when we say that kofin oisei, the fact is that it is true that why other mitzvahs I say as well. If a person doesn't want to be mekayim some other mitzvahs I say as well, then Beis Din can force him to. So why do we need a separate pasuk for korbanos anyway? The reason is because here it says l'ritzonei. Let's say, for example, a person doesn't want to eat matzah. Beis Din will force him to eat matzah. Fine, but it never says in the Torah that you have to eat matzah l'ritzonei. So therefore, we could say that therefore Beis Din can force him. Here, where it says that korbanos have to be brought l'ritzonei, you would have thought that you can't force him at all, and therefore we have to have some pasuk that tells us that you could. But again, you have two different psukim, and the Gemara is asking why you need two different psukim for the same din. Tosfos also discusses, by the way, that Tosfos also discusses a few other details about this. First of all, a chatas and an osham, not necessarily do we need to force him, because he himself is going to feel bad about it, that he hasn't brought his chatas or his osham, and therefore Beis Din may not have to force him. Eventually, he's going to realize on his own that he can't continue like this. Even as far as Olus and Shlomim, actually, Tosfos says that there's a difference between that you have. There is something someplace else where it says that you take that if he hasn't brought the korban, you take a mashkin from him. So Tosfos distinguishes you can have, let's say, where he hasn't yet been over on Baal Ta'achar, but if the Beis Din sees he's not bothering to do anything, he's trying to spend. Let's say, for example, as the Gemara is going to say soon over here, he hasn't even designated an animal yet or bought an animal for the purpose, and Beis Din sees that he's being very frivolous with his money. He's just, you know, wasting money here and there. So that in the end, you can say, look, you know what? I'm poor. I can't afford a carbon. So then Beis Din will take a mashkin from him to force him to actually buy the carbon. Whereas with a chatas and an osham, you don't need to do that. And over here, we're talking about where he already designated the animal and is not actually bringing it, where then Beis Din will force him to go and bring it. okay. So again, so the question is why you need two psukim for each thing, for the Esser, for the Lois Esser, and for Beis Din to force him. So the answer is, Chad the Omer v'alei Afrish, v'chad Afrish v'alei Afrish. Because one of each of these two is talking about where he said that he's going to bring the korban, but he didn't even designate an animal for that purpose yet. V'chad Afrish v'alei Afrish, and the second one is where he designated the animal, but has not yet been makriv it. So the point is, Baal Ta'achar applies to both of them. He, for example, he said, I'm going to bring an Ola. Regolim are passing, and he hasn't even bought or taken from his flock an animal for that purpose. So then we need one pasuk to tell us that he's over on Baal Ta'achar, and that he's over on the Esser, and that Beis Din should force him. And the other one is where he designated it, and he still hasn't brought it yet. Again, the clock is ticking, and therefore you have all these three things, the Esser, the Lois Esser, and Beis Din forcing him. Now, why do we need both? The Gemara says, Utsricha. We need both of them. The Iyashmin and Omar Veloy Afrish. If we only had a pasuk regarding the case where he said, I'm going to bring the korban, but he didn't designate one yet, you would say, you know why Beis Din have to force him, and you know why at that point we're saying that the clock is ticking and he's over on an Esser and a Lois Esser, Mishum Galei Kaimei L'Dibori, because he didn't fulfill his words at all. He didn't even take the first step towards fulfilling what he said. Avo Afrish Galei Akriv, but if he already designated an animal and he wasn't makriv it yet, Emo, you might say, it's not so bad. At least he took the first step. And after all, kol heicha de isay, any place where that animal is, bei gaza de rachmona isay, it's in the treasury of Hashem. In other words, okay, so he didn't yet bring the korban, but he already was mafdish the korban. That already puts certain limitations on what he can do with it. He can't shear it. He can't use the milk from it. He can't work with it. So that, and wherever it is, I mean, the whole world belongs to Hashem. Hashem aretz loya. So wherever it is, it's in Hashem's treasury. Fine. Eventually, he'll get around to it. What are you being so picky about him that he has to bring it within shalosh regalim? Therefore, we need a pasuk to tell us that even then, Baal Ta'achar applies. And vice versa, the Iyashmin and Afish v'lay Akriv, if we were only told the other way around, where he's at stage two, he designated the animal, but he wasn't makriv it yet, and you would say that Baal Ta'achar applies then, you wouldn't know that it applies in the earlier case, because you would say the problem is the Kamashi Le Gabe. After all, you have the opposite problem. He has an animal that he already designated as a korban, he's keeping it by him too long, you're going to have problems over here. It may age out. He may end up forgetting that it's kodshim and shear it or work with it or whatever. So maybe therefore we would say, now we want to tell him that you're over and that Beis Din is going to force you. Avol omer v'lo afrish, but if he only said, I'm going to bring a korban and didn't actually designate one, you could say the opposite logic. Ema dibur alay klumu. You could say his word is nothing. Talk is cheap. Okay, I mean, yeah, I mean, Gavoya can sit on the head yet. Fine, but it's still not the same thing as actually doing something, as actually doing a maaseh to designate the animal. Therefore, you would say that maybe we're going to go easier on him, and we're not going to force him, and we're not going to say that he's over on Baal Ta'achar. So therefore, we need both of them. In fact, there are Mepharshim who say that from here is where we learn the concept of Amir LaGavaya Kinsir LaHadya. Once we're saying that as soon as he says that I'm going to bring a Karban, that the clock starts ticking, from that itself, we learn that unlike with a hediyot, where if I told you I'm going to give you something, it has no effect. You must make a kinyan. But what here we're saying, just through saying I'm going to give a korban to Hashem, and already that has an effect. So we see therefore that this concept of amir l'gavaya kinsir l'hediyot, that as soon as you make a promise to Hashem to bring a korban or hekdesh or what have you, it's already considered that it belongs to Hashem. Like we just said a couple of lines ago, it's already in Hashem's treasury. So that's why we need both, that's why we need two psukim for each one, two for the eser, two for the lois eser, and two for based in the forsim, because there are two different stages at which each of those things has to happen. One where he said, I'm gonna bring the korban, and the other one after he said it, and before he designated the korban, and the second one after he designated the korban and before he brought it. So the Gemara asks, "Me matas amrit to omer v'loy afresh? How could you tell me that by all these things we listed in the Braisa, you have the case where it could be that he said that he made the promise, but didn't yet set aside an animal for it? V'nedava k'siva. One of the things we had in this Braisa was the case of nedava or tnan, and we learned in a Mishnah, the first Mishnah of Masech Pekinim, that says, Ezer hu neder. What is the difference between a neder and a nedava? A neder is, as we talked about before, ha'imah harei olai ola. He says, there's an obligation of an ola on me. So it's a chovas gavra. He has taken responsibility for that ola, meaning, and as we're going to say, that means that he's chayav b'achriyusa. If the animal is unavailable, he has to get a different one. The ezer hu nedava ha'imah harei zu ola. A nedava would be where to begin with, it says, this animal should be an ola. Uma be neder than a dava. What's the difference between them? The difference is mes a nignav chayav b'achriyusa. With a neder, if the animal dies or gets stolen or any other thing, develops a mum or whatever, chayav b'achriyusa, then he's chayav to make up for it. He can't say, well, but the animal I designated is dead or whatever. We tell him, no, the original neder was you are going to bring a korban. Well, very well, you're still on the hook to bring a korban. So therefore, so he's chayav b'achriyusa. Nedava, on the other hand, with a nedava, mesa enigma ain't a chayav b'achriyusa. If it died or was stolen or what have you, he's not chayav b'achriyusa because the neder was this animal I'm going to bring as a korban. Well, this animal isn't available anymore. So that being the case, then with a nedava, you don't really have the two stages. The two stages, in effect, are being condensed into one because you're just saying to begin with, this animal should be a korban. Unlike with a neder, where there's the two stages, I'm going to bring a korban. And this is the animal that I'm going to use for that, so to fulfill that. So we're saying in the Braista that the Esser from Moitzes Vasecha and the Lois Esser from Tishber and the Azharul based in Shiyas Sukha from Vasisa. So all of those we said apply. So we said all, you have those and then you have the other set of Sukkim that teach us the same dinim. And we said because there are two stages, but there's no two stages by Nedava. So we're back to the question, why do we need two for each one of them? The answer is, Amar Rava Mashkachasla, you can find where there will be, the two stages by Nedava, to go into Amar Harei Olai Ola Amanash She'eni Chaya Bach Riyosa. Suppose a person makes kind of a hybrid between a neder and a Nedava. He uses the word Harei Olai, which is a neder. But he says, "Amanas on condition she'eni chayav achriyusa that I will not be responsible if the animal is lost or stolen or what have you." So, in other words, the words that he used are harei alai, but in substance, what he's doing is in a nedava. Well, therefore, so that's the kind of nedava the pasuk is talking about. Given that he said harei alai, then he didn't designate a particular animal at the time. Therefore, you can still talk about stage one and stage two. On the other hand, in terms of the din of it, it has the din of a nedava because his tnai is valid, and we say that he's in fact not chayav if later on the animal that he designated gets lost or stolen or what have you. So it's kind of a hybrid. In other words, you have a neder where the neder was strictly, I'm going to bring a korban, and later on he says, this particular animal is what I'm going to use. Then we said, chayav b'achriyusa. There's nedava where to begin with, he says, this animal. Now we have kind of a hybrid where he says, harei olai, But so therefore, he has yet to designate an animal, but he makes to begin with a t'nai that that animal, if it dies or whatever, that he's not going to be chayav bakriyasa. So therefore, you have the two stages, but it still amounts to an adava. Tosfos mentions over here briefly that you have something called in halacha masna mashakos b'torah. You have something where if a person tries to make a t'nai against what the Torah says, usually it's not chal. You have an example in Gimel Parakim of Rambam these days, for example, where a person wants to make a t'nai, he says that I'm harvesting my field now, there's going to be leket, there's going to be shikha, I'm making a t'nai that I should be able to keep those and not give them to the aniyim. Doesn't work. The Torah says that they don't belong to him. So usually we say that. Why over here we allow? So Tosfos just says it's not like masna mashakos b'torah. However, Tosfos doesn't explain why not. So Mefoshim explained the reason is because here to begin with, the Torah does empower a person to make the kind of neder of a korban where he's not going to be chayav bakriyasei. Namely, he could say nedava instead of saying hare olai. He could to begin with have said hare zu. This animal is a korban, and then the Mishnah just told us that he's not chayav bakriyasa. So therefore, that because he has that ability, then even now when he's saying hare olai, he has the ability to make that same t'nai and not to be considered masna mashakos b'torah. As opposed to, let's say, with leket and shikha and peya, where to begin with, the Torah doesn't empower him to make any t'naim on that, and therefore he can't. Okay, anyway, the point is that you have an adava that has those two stages, and therefore we're justified in saying that we have one set of psukim that teaches us that where he, after he made that neder and before he designated the actual animal, then if he delays too long, he's then based enough to deal with him, and he's over on an S and a low S, and another one once he designated the actual animal. Okay. Next, the Braisa had said, b'ficha zu tzedaka. We said the word beficha, the last word of the pasuk, refers to tzedakah. So, Omar Rava, utzedakah mechayev alola alter. So, Rava says, actually, when it comes to tzedakah, a person is over on it right away if he doesn't give it. My time, and the hakayim aniyim, because after all, there are aniyim around. What are you delaying? What are you delaying shalosh regalim to give it? There's plenty of aniyim that are available for you to give the tzedakah to. So we ask Pshita, well, isn't that obvious? Why would we think otherwise? And the answer is maud and tamer. You would have thought exactly that. Kiven de binyana de korbanos ksiva, since, after all, we're mentioning it in the context of korbanos, and korbanos, you're not going to the Beis Mikdash all the time, only the shalosh regalim, ad de avriya la gimel regalim ke korbanos, maybe indeed you're only over if three regalim are passed, just like korbanos, kamash malon, therefore Rava is telling us not, because the difference is, hosam hu de talinu rachmona ber regalim, when it comes to korbanos, the Torah is making it depend on regalim, because you can't be expected in the middle of the year to go to the Beis Mikdash. But if you're not, because you have a name available. There is a machlokas rishonim on this. What exactly is Rava telling us? Because after all, we did say before, when we had the first braisa at the beginning of the sugya, we did say kiven sha'avra len gimel regalim over v'altacher, that only once three regalim pass, or the various numbers of regalim according to the different tanoim, that you're over. So what is Rava saying over here that you're over right away? So there's a few different possibilities. Tosfos over there talks, Tosfos a couple of dafim earlier, talks about that what it means is, if there are neem around, then we have what Rava is telling us, if you don't give the tzedakah, you're over right away. On the other hand, if there are no neem around, then we're saying you have up to shalosh regalim to find some neem. So in other words, so both of them. So if there are neem around, so you can be over right away. If there are neem around, then you're not giving them. But if there are no aniyim around, you have shalosh regalim to go find an aniyim in order to give it to him. And if not, then Tosfos says, then you're over on Baal Ta'achar. The Rashba learns differently. He says that all we're talking about over here is to be over on the Esser. We're not talking about the Lois Esser at all. And the Ran takes kind of a middle view. Not really a middle view. He takes a view that actually, yes, we are talking about the Esser. And in fact, he wouldn't be over on the Lois Esser at all. Or rather, the Ram says he has to give right away. But to actually be over, that he's only over if he delays it for three regalim. So he has to give it right away, and that's what Rava means. That mechayev alala alto, he's obligated to give it right away, but not that he's over on anything until even the Esser until the various numbers of regalim have passed. There is also, by the way, as far as that, what happens. Now, this is talking about, for example, Tosfos mentioned earlier, when you have tzedakah, where you're giving it to the gabbai tzedakah, and they're the ones who decide at their discretion which aniyim to give it to. First of all, there is a concept that's mentioned by Rishonim and Achronim. If you're delaying it because you're waiting, you don't just want to give it to the first ani. You want to give it to an ani who's actually an erlich person. You know, you have, let's say, you have reason to suspect that the aniyim around are fakers. So then you're allowed to, or that they're going to waste it on something. So then, fine, you're allowed to delay until you find an ani hogun to give it to. But also, Tosfos discusses earlier that if you're giving it to the gabbai tzedakah. So then fine, Baal Ta'achar applies when you're giving it to the Gabbai, you have to give it to him within a certain amount of time, but he himself is not subject to Baal Ta'achar as far as dividing it out, as far as giving it out to the Aniyim, because it's at his discretion when to do that. And Tosfos says, by the same point, if a person is making a neder and saying that I'll give the tzedakah whenever I want, without specifying a time, then he's not over on Baal Ta'achar either, and that's brought in Shulchan Aruch. By the same token, also, if a person makes a pledge to a shul, he's not over on Baal Ta'achar, it says in Shulchan Aruch, until the Gaboyim actually bill him for it. Until they tell him, where's the money for the Mishaberach or whatever that you pledge. Until that point, the clock doesn't start. But once it does, then Rabbah is saying that he's chayev to pay it off as soon as possible. Okay. Next. Omar Rabbah says another din. We said before that three regalim, and according to the Shimon, as many as five regalim, whatever, then you're over on a lois eseh. Rava says, actually, as soon as the first full regal passes, and you haven't brought the korban or done whichever, then already you're over on an eseh. Because we said before, there's an eseh, uvasa shama, va'abesim shama. As soon as you come to the Beis Mikdash, you should bring the korban. So therefore, so you didn't bring it that first yomtiv, then you're over on that eseh. To be over on a lois eseh. So that was what the Ram said. So after the first, so if you don't give it right away when it comes to tzedakah, then you're over on that s on that on the lois eseh that derives from that eseh lava b'mitzvah eseh, namely that you didn't bring it in time. But to actually be over on Baal Ta'achar, you would need shalosh regalim. Anyway, so Rava says once one regal passes already, you're over on an eseh. So Rava says basically, I have a contradiction. A Mishnah in Adius tells us, now it starts out, the Mishnah starts by telling us that Rebbe Eliezer says, now you have like this, a shlomim can be a male or a female animal. Being that it can be a female, it means that you can have one that's pregnant, which Rashi gives us two scenarios. You could have, to begin with, you designated for your shlomim an animal where that's already pregnant, and then it gave birth before you brought it, or you could have where you designated the animal, and then it became pregnant after you amakdash it. Either way, Rebbe Eliezer says that the baby of that animal should not be brought as a shlomim, and the reason is because he's afraid that if you're going to be able to do that, you're going to, when you makdish an animal for a shlomim, you may keep it around long term in order that it should produce more babies, and the longer you keep it around, first of all, there's Baal Ta'achar, but second of all, practically speaking, you might end up forgetting that it's hektish and shearing or working with it or whatever. So therefore, Rebbe Eliezer says that the Chachamim don't want you to bring the baby of a Shlomim as a Shlomim. However, the Mishnah continues, Heyed Rabbi Shua v'Rab Papias Avlad Shlomim Sheyik Rab Shlomim. Rabbi Shua and Rab Papias gave Adius about the baby of a Shlomim in either of these scenarios, that you do bring it as a Shlomim. And the Gemara and the Mishnah continues with Omer Rab Papias, so Rab Papias says, I'll give you an actual real life example of that. Ani Meyed Shahoy Savon Aparash Shal Zivche Shlomim, I can give Adius that we had a cow that was a shlomim, ba'achalnuha ba'pesach, we ate the cow, we brought her the korban shlomim on Pesach, ba'achalnu vloda shlomim b'chag, and then we ate its baby as a shlomim on the chag. Now chag usually means sukkos, which is two yomim tovim later. So the question would be why they delayed that long. If it was only a lois eseh, lois ta'achar, fine, they have three yomim tovim, according to most of the Tanoim. But if we're saying that already the first Yom Tov where they don't bring it, they're over on an Eseh, Rav Papias and his family are not going to want to be over on an Eseh. So the Gemara says, okay, B'shalem of Pesach Layakruhua, fine, I can understand why they didn't bring it on Pesach. Eber de Mechul says, not have a, could be that by the end of Pesach, the baby was not yet 8 days old. Now, we know that you can't bring an animal as a korban unless it's at least 8 days old. So fine, maybe it wasn't old enough yet, so they couldn't bring it Pesach. El of Vlodabat Seres, but why did they not bring the baby in on Shavuos? Keichi Mashilo, how are they delaying it and not bringing on Shavuos? But Abri Alei Be'Esther, and then they're over on an Esther on it, according to what Rava is telling us. The answer is Amr of Zvid, Mishmeid Rava, Kagun Shahoya Chola Ba'atzeres. The case is that it was sick on Shavuos. So Rashi explains it means the baby was sick on Shavuos. So therefore, now a sick animal, you're not supposed to bring as a korban. So therefore they couldn't bring it Shavuos, and therefore instead they brought it Sukkos after it recovered. Rabbi Hananel explains differently. He says that Shoya Choyla means that the owner was sick on Shavuos and he wasn't able to go to the Beis Hamikdash. Although Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out about that, so what? He could have sent it with a shliach. He didn't have to bring it himself. If we're saying that the first Yom Tov you already over on an Esther, then instead of saying, fine, they couldn't bring it themselves because they weren't feeling well, but at least they should have sent it with a shliach. So therefore he prefers, that's why Rashi preferred to explain that we're talking about that the baby was sick. Okay, so that's one answer. So therefore, so no Baal Ta'achar, because if we were talking about the law of Baal Ta'achar, then fine, maybe even Yomim Tovim, where the animal or the person was sick, would count towards Baal Ta'achar, because after all, you have three of them. So if you're gonna say, for example, that you didn't bring up the first one, you didn't bring up the second one, and then the third one you can't because of sickness, fine, you can still hold him responsible maybe, because after all, he should have brought it one of the first two. But here we're talking about the first Yom Tov when you're over on the Esser, so then therefore if he's sick or the animal is sick, then we can't hold him responsible. Rav Ashi gives a different explanation. You know what it means, Chag, in that mission, it means Chag HaShavuos, means the next Yom Tov means Shavuos, so there's no problem at all. Pesach itself, they didn't bring the baby, like we said, because it was less than 8 days old, and so they brought it the next Yom Tov, which is Shavuos. The Idach, what does Rav Zvid answer to that? Why does he not want to use that explanation and instead have to say that the animal or the person was sick? He says, because that's not the Lashon. Kol Heicha the Tani Pesach Tani Atzeres. Whenever you're talking about Pesach and then you're talking about the next Yom Tov, you don't use the word Chag. Chag, unspecified like that, refers to Sukkot. So to avoid confusion, you use the word, you call it by its name, you call it Atzeres. So here they don't say that we ate it on Atzeres. They say that we ate it on the Chag. Then Rav Zvid says that forces us to say that it was Sukkos, not Shavuos. And then we need Rav Zvid's answer that the animal or the person was sick. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav ve'Amar Rava kiven she'avra alav gimur regalim. Here's another din as far as Baal Ta'acher. Once three regalim have passed, and you didn't bring the korban, or you didn't fulfill the neder, or whatever, v'chol yoyim v'yoyim over b'Baal Ta'achar. Every single extra day that passes, you're over again on Baal Ta'achar. Again, it doesn't mean that he's going to be getting more malchus or anything. We said to begin with, there's no malchus for it, because the lav shein b'maisa. But nevertheless, he's still over every day on an esser until he brings it. The Gemara says, Mesu, I have a contradiction to that. A b'raisa says, echad b'chor v'echad kol ha'kodshim, whether a b'chor or whether any other kachim. Now, a b'chor, the Torah tells us explicitly that you're supposed to eat it shana b'shana, every year, meaning that you're supposed to bring it, that you're supposed to bring it as a korban and eat it within the year after it was born, as we're going to discuss at the bottom of the Amud. So a b'chor, and also all other korbanis, even though it doesn't say explicitly by them. Kiven she'avra aleim shana b'loy regalim, once a year has passed. The reason why it applies to other kodshim is because the pasuk says kol habachor. So the kol is a ribui including other karbanas. So the braisa says kibin sha'ora alem shana below the golim. Once a year has passed, even though shalosh regolim have not passed, and we're going to discuss soon how that's possible, or regolim below shana, or once the three regolim have passed, but a full year has not passed, over Baal Ta'achar, either way he's over on Baal Ta'achar. Well, it says behind my tupte. What kind of a contradiction is that? How are you getting from that a contradiction to what Rava says about every day after the three regalim you're over on Baal Ta'achar? Amar Rav Kahana, man de kamoisiv shafer kamoisiv. Whoever brought up this question in the Beis Medrash had a very good point. We may not have realized it, but let me explain to you. Rav Kahana is saying what that Makshin was thinking. Nechti Tana alavi kamahader. Given that the Tana is looking to find the lavim that apply, he's trying to tell you that you have. He's trying to tell you all the various cases where the lav of Baal Ta'achar is going to apply. Whether you have a year without regalim, whether you have regalim without a year. listening b'chol yom v'yom over bal tachat. So you should also add that point. Here is another way that you're able to be over on the lab by failing to bring it every day after the three yom tov. So therefore, so if it didn't do that, then that seems to contradict the other who says that you are. So the Gemara says v'idach. So what would be other when the Gemara said, so what's the stira from this braisa? Couldn't that Machshon himself realize that point? Why does he not agree with Rabbana? Because he says Tana l'mikveh b'lav kamahader. Because the Tana is not trying to tell us how many lavim there are. The Tana is trying to tell us here are the cases where the issur of bal ta'achar is first triggered after the three yamim tovim or after a year, as the case may be. B'lav yisaidi loy kamahader. He's not coming to tell us that how many extra times a person can be over on a lav, not necessarily. He just wants to tell us, you should know, there's a certain point at which the lav of Bal Ta'acha kicks in. According to the Chachamim, we said it was Shalosh Regalim. You should know that it can also be, even if it was a year passed without Shalosh Regalim, or vice versa, even if Shalosh Regalim passed without a year. But he's not going on to talk about, it's not part of what he's trying to talk about to tell us the fact that you can be over on more lavim after that. So therefore that braisa, according to the other chachamim, not Rav Kahana, would not be a contradiction to Rava. Okay. Now let's analyze that braisa. Gufa echad b'chur v'echad kolakodshim. Whether a b'chur where it says shana b'shana or all other kodshim, which we doesn't say that, and we learn from the word kol. Once a year passes, even though the three regalim have not passed, or regalim below shana, or even if all three yamim tovim have passed, but the year has not passed yet, over bal ta'achar, either way he's over on bal ta'achar. So we have to figure out what are the scenarios. The shleimer regalim below shana mashkachasla. To say that regalim can pass without a full year, sure, that's easy. He made the neder, for example, before Pesach. So now you have Pesach Shavuos Sukkos, only a little over 6 months have passed, and already he's over on Bal Ta'acha because three Yom Tovim passed. Fine, that part is easy. Ella Shana V'lo Regalim Heichem Hashkachasla. But how do you have a scenario where you have a year without Regalim? The Regalim come on the same dates every year on the face of it. So B'Shleima L'Rebi Hashkachasla B'Shana Mu'Beres. And Tosfos points out also that if you were to talk about that he was Makdashit during the Yom Tov, still, let's say he was Makdashit in the middle of Pesach, fine, you would still say when it comes the same day of Pesach next year, that he's still over on Bal Ta'acha, because the end, the second half of Pesach of the first year will combine together with the first half of Pesach the following year. So you still don't have a case where you have a full year passed where all three of the Golem have not passed. According to Rebbe, it's easy to understand because you could be talking about a Shana Mu'beres. Now, of course, Tosfos says the Gemara could have easily also explained that our Braisa is talking about talking according to the Meir, who says that you're already over on after one Yom Tov, or according to the Beloved Ben Yaakov, two Regalim. So they're saying that once, so according to them, for sure, you're not going to have Shana below Regalim. So necessarily, they're going to have to say that we're talking about that he was sick. But over here, the Gemara wants to try to make the Braisa work according to the Shimon as well. Actually, Rashi points out that when it seems the Tana of this Braisa, you could say that, I skipped a couple of lines in the Gemara, sorry. You said that Regalim below Shana is easy. How do you have Shana below Regalim? Hanicha l'man de'isleik is Sidron. I can understand, according to the Shimon, who says that the Shalosh Regalim have to be in order, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, Mashkachasla, it's easy to find, because you can have, he made the neder, let's say, before Sukkos, and now you have to wait until not only Sukkos, but also Pesach, Shavuos, and the next Sukkos pass. So fine, the Braisa would be saying that once a year has passed, then he's over on Bal Ta'acha. You don't have the three Yom Tovim in order. Rashi says, in that case, it would mean the Tana of this Braisa partially agrees with Rav Shimon, but not completely. He agrees with him that you need to have Regalim Kesidron. You made the Neder, but you have to have that the three Regalim are going to be Kesidron. But you should know that if a year passes, even though the three Regalim haven't been Kesidron, then already you're over on Bal Ta'acha as well. So it's one or the other. So according to the Rav Shimon or any Tana who partially agrees with him, fine, it's easy enough to have a year without the three Regalim in order. Ela l'manda less like the Sidron, but according to the Tanakama of the Bryce over there, who said that you don't need the three to golem to be kasidron. Heichim ashkachasla. How do you have a case where you have a year past and you don't have all three to golem? So b'shleim el Rebbe mashkachasla b'shanim uberes. So according to Rebbe, I can understand. If we follow Rebbe's opinion, he says that a year, for purposes of many halachas, is considered to be a solar year of 365 days. So therefore, in a Shana Moberes, you can easily have a Shana Moberes. It's 380 some days, because they have an extra Adar. So therefore, you can have 365 days pass, and you haven't had all three regalim yet. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. The Pasuk says, Shana Tmima. The Pasuk says, in connection with a person sells a house in a city that was walled from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, the Torah tells us in Parashas Bahar, he has 1 year to buy that back, and if he doesn't buy it back within that year, then he doesn't buy that back within that year, then it permanently belongs to the other guy. He never gets it back, not even in Yod. And the Pasuk says, if he doesn't buy it back within Shana Tmima. So what is the definition of Shana Tmima? Rebbe Omer Mona Gimel Meis V'Shishim V'Chamin Shayom Kamin Yom Mosachama. So Rebbe says 365 days, a solar year. The Chum said no, it means 12 months of the Jewish calendar. The Imnis Abra Shon Imnis Abra Loi. And if there's an Ibur year, then he has 13 months to buy the house back. So now, So now, according to Rebbe, it's easy to find a case where a year, according to his definition, of 365 days, where such a year has passed and the three regalim haven't passed yet, the Akdash Abbas of Chagamatis, suppose he was Makdash it right after Pesach 1 year, and the next year is an Ibur year, the Kimota Shule, Oder Basura, Shanamal, Yer Regalim Lemalu. So now, when it comes to the end of Adar of the following year, Then you have a complete solar year, and yet you don't have a full number of regalim because you've only had Shavuos and Sukkos during that time. Actually, it's odd that the Gemara uses that. Well, so Rashi says, what do you mean over here? If he's makdish it after Chagamatis, when you have an Ibur year, so you have now a Jewish year is about 19, or is about 18 or 19 or 20 days longer than a solar year. So how do you have that he was makdish it after Chagamatis, and still it comes out that the year ends at the end, by the end of Adar? So Rashi says either it means that he was makdish it in the middle of Yom Tov, or the other possibility is that Rashi says, when it says Shilhei Adar, doesn't actually mean the end of Adar, means sometime after the end of Adar. It would be an early Nisan. So in other words, let's say he was Makdash on Isru Chag, which is for Bnei Eretz Yisrael, Isru Chag is Chav Beis Nisan. So fine, the next year, the year is going to be up Dalad, or is going to be up Gimel or Dalad Nisan, and therefore, so Pesach hasn't come yet. So we're calling it Shilhei Adar in a looser sense, meaning it's after the end of Adar is over. Or again, Rashi says, you could be talking about that he was Makdash during Chol HaMoed Pesach, and then the year really is up at the end of Adar. Whatever, according to Rebbe, you can find that case. But according to the Chachamim, how do you have a scenario where you have a year has passed, according to them, a year being a year on the Jewish calendar, from a certain date on the Jewish calendar until the same date the following year? How do you have that if, according to them, because the Yom Tovim come on the same dates every year? The answer is Kedetani Rav Shmaya, like Rav Shmaya taught. We know that the dates of Pesach and of Sukkot are fixed, but the date of Shavuos is not. It depends on Sfiras Omer. So Rav Shmaya taught a brisa, Atzeres Pa'amim Hei Pa'amim Shisha Pa'amim Shiva. Shavuos sometimes can be on the fifth of Sivan, sometimes on the sixth, sometimes on the seventh. Okay, so how do you have that? Shnein Malein Chamisha. If both Nisan and Iyar are 30 days each, then Shavuos comes out on the 5th of Sivan. Because what do you have? You start Sfiras HaOmer on the 16th of Nisan. So you have, if Nisan is Malay, then you have 15 days of Nisan. Then Iyar is Malay as well. You have another 15 days. So that brings you to 45. And then you have 5 days, and Shavuos is the 50th day. So it comes out the 5th of Sivan. Shnein Chaserin Shiva. On the other hand, if both Nisan and Iyar are Chaserin, then Shavuos is going to be on the 7th of Sivan. Then you have 14 days from Nisan, 29 from Iyar is 43, and you need another 7. Echad Molly, but Echad Chaser Shisha. If one of them is Molly and one is Chaser, as we have it in our calendar nowadays, then Shavuos comes out on the 6th of Sivan. This is, by the way, one of the points that Rebbe made in a number of times in letters on the question of putting course of the international dateline during the Sfira, what do they do as far as Shavuos, where the Rebbe's Shita is that he has to keep Shavuos according to his own count, which means it's going to come out a day earlier or a day later than everybody else in that area is bringing it. That's precisely the point. You see over here in our Gemara that it doesn't depend on a certain day of the month. It depends on the count. So therefore, yeah, if you have a person goes from here to Australia, crossing the dateline, doing Sfira, for example, Australia being a day ahead, he's going to wind up celebrating Shavuos a day later than they do, because his own count is a day behind theirs, and vice versa if he comes from Australia to here. So you can have a case where, so now you have a case, therefore. So imagine that last year you made the neder on Vav Sivan. So remember, we're talking about Yisrael. There's only one day Shavuos. So last year you made the neder on Vav Sivan, and last year was a Shana Malaya. So Shavuos had been last year Nissan and Iyar were both Malay. So therefore Shavuos was on the 5th of Sivan. So you made the neder on Isruchag. The next year is a Chasera. So therefore Shavuos that year is going to be on the 7th of Sivan. Well, on the 6th of Sivan, then it comes out only two Yomim Tovim have passed. You only have Shavuos had already passed before you made the neder. You only have Sukkot and Pesach. Now, the point is, the Braisa is telling you, even though you don't have three regalim yet, but you have a full year, therefore the Braisa is telling you you're already over on Baltacha. Okay, so the Gemara says, Uman Tana the Polygale did Rav Shmaya. Well, if Rav Shmaya is telling us that you can have like that, that Shavuos can be sometimes the 5th, sometimes the 6th, sometimes the 7th, then which Tana disagrees with that and says that it's always on a certain day, namely the Tanakama of the original Braisa, who didn't mention anything about Shana below the Golden, who said you always have to have three Golden, but that Tana apparently disagrees with Shmaya, who would that be? The answer is Acherim. That would be according to Acherim, usually that means your mayor. The Tanya, Acherim Onim, Ein Bein Atzeres La'atzeres, you never have between one Shavuos and the next the Ein Bein Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah, and similarly, you never have between Rosh Hashanah and one Rosh Hashanah and the next, Ela Dalid Yomim Bilvad, only 4 days of the week. Namely, like this, a lunar month from Molad to Molad is a little over 29 and a half days. 29 days, 12 hours, 793 halakim. 12 times that equals 354 days and some hours. Dividing 354 by 7 gives you a remainder of 4. So therefore, in other words, so in effect, what Acherim are telling us is there's no such thing as a Shana Chaserah or Malaya. A year is always going to be considered on 6 Malayim, 6 Chaserim. So therefore, for example, if 1 year Rosh Hashanah is on Tuesday, then the next year it's always going to be on Shabbos. And similarly with Shavuos, if one year Shavuos is on Wednesday, the next year it's going to be on Sunday. There's no finagling with the length of the month. If it was an Ibru year, then there's going to be 5 days, because the Acherim hold that the Ibru month, the extra Adar, is always 29 days. 29 days is 4 weeks and 1 day. So therefore, that adds 1 day. So fine, with an Ibru year, if Rosh Hashanah was Monday, then the following year, Rosh Hashanah is going to be Shabbos. And the same thing with Shavuos. The point is, in other words, Acherim don't say that you adjust the length of the month to allow for different considerations, such as, for example, we know there's built in a rule into our calendar, Loy Adur Rosh, that Rosh Hashanah cannot be on Sunday or Wednesday or Friday for reasons that we're going to talk about later on, Ves Hashem, on Daf Chof. So Acherim don't hold of that. So therefore, according to them, the date of Shavuos is not variable. It's always going to be Vav Sivan. So there's no way to have a year according to them without Regolim. There's no way to have a full year according to them without Regolim. Now, the Gemara does point out in Erchin, Tosfos brings it later in the Sugya on Daf Chof, even according to Acherim, sometimes you need an extra Chodesh Malay. Because after all, we said that a year is 354 days and some hours. So eventually it's 8 hours and change. So after every 3 years, those 8 hours add up to a full day. And the 876 halakim over time, over 30 years or so, also add up to a full day. If you don't occasionally make an extra Chodesh Malay to compensate for those, then things are going to get out of whack. Fine, but the Gemara says that Acherim are not taking that into consideration, because it doesn't happen every year. So the Rashash over here on the Gemara talks about that. Fine, even Acherim say you have to do that, but they're going to say specifically the months that you're going to make Malay for that purpose are going to be like we have nowadays in our calendar, Cheshvan or Kislev. We're not going to start playing around with the length of the month during the spring, namely Nisan or Iyar, like we talked about in our Braisa before. And also the Yafei Naim has in the back of the Gemara Erchin, he has a long discussion about certain calculations involving the calendar, where he explains essentially, according to Acherim, fine, even if we said that other months could be changed in size, but according to him, you never have a year that's Chaseira. You may have to have occasionally a year that's Malaya, for the reason that we said, because the extra hours and whatever add up. But according to him, there would never be a reason to have a year that's Chaseira. Well, that being the case, the scenario that we had over here that involved having first a year that was Malay, and then it where Nissan and Iyar were Malay, and then a year where Nissan and Iyar were Chaser, that you're not going to have that according to Acherim. Therefore, according to Acherim, there's no way to have a year without three regalim. Okay, but again, Reb Shmaya is disagreeing with that. He's saying, according to the Chachamim, that you can be what's called, what we're going to have later on the Chof Ma'abrin with Tzorech, that you're allowed to sometimes make a month be 30 days long for other needs, for example, to prevent Rosh Hashanah from falling out on the wrong days of the week. So therefore, according to them, the lengths of all the months are variable. Okay, our calendar doesn't have that, only has Cheshvan and Kislev variable, but still, that you can have a year that's Chaser, you can have a year that's Mullah, you can have a year that's Kisidron, and the date of Shavuos itself is variable from year to year, so therefore you're able to have a year that doesn't include Shalosh Regalim. We'll continue on. So this week, So,